Hey everyone, I'm Dan, I'm an addict.
Hey Dan. Dan.
It is a privilege and an honor to be asked to speak for Narcotics Anonymous. Rich did hit me up yesterday. I was sitting in my living room, and as soon as he hit me up, I kind of knew something like that was going to be asked. But like he said, you know, Narcotics Anonymous has never said no to me. So if I'm able to do it and I'm willing to do it, I'm going to be out here to do it. I'm just going to give a little experience, strength, and hope for you guys. And, you know, it couldn't have came at a better time to share my story because, you know, I've been going through some things, and it's always good to get asked to speak and, like, you know, go back and, like, relive some things and remember, you know, who you are and where you came from. So, cause you know how us addicts, we like to get ungrateful and, you know, we get busy and, you know, things... We stop remembering like where we came from. So it was a great time to be asked. So like you said, I live out in Altoona now. I do attend meetings out there. I do travel a little bit. I'm from north of Pittsburgh, a little town called Butler. So I do go out there a lot. I do go to Beaver County a lot and Pittsburgh meetings a lot too, because I did get some clean time out that way too. So I do have a decent support out that way. But mainly, I reside in Altoona. My home group is Hope Not Dope Wednesday night. Like I said, I grew up in Butler. I have a sister who is an addict also. She had some time clean. I don't know really exactly what's going on with her right now, but... she's pushed away from the program, like kind of like I've done in the past, and I'm hoping to light her fire and get back in there too, just by showing her what I'm doing. But my father, he was an addict, alcoholic. My mother, I've never seen her drunk, never seen her high, nothing. She was too busy chasing my father around at the bars, and too busy trying to take care of all of us, so she didn't really have time to do all that. She was doing that. So that being said, like, my father, he was in the army. He was over in Germany. That's where they had my sister. Then they moved back over here, and that's when they had me in Butler, Pennsylvania. Like I said, my father, he was an addict, alcoholic. Just to go back a little bit, I'll never forget the day. Me and my sister both worked at Eaton Park. I was a dishwasher there. I was like 17 years old. She was 18. She was a waitress there. I remember walking in there, and like as soon as I walked in, I seen her face, and she was like crying. And I asked her. I said, "What's going on?" And she wouldn't tell me. And I said to her, "I said you need to tell me what's going on." And she said, "You know, Dad died." And like, part of me knew that, like, you know, this was coming just because of, you know, what was going on with him. And that was probably, like, one of the hardest days of my life because, you know, my dad was my hero. Even though he was who he was, like, I still, you know, looked up to him. And it pretty much crushed me. That's when my addiction pretty much took off at 17. I was dibble-dabbling with some things at the time. You know, the pill scene came in really heavy right then with the oxys. So I knew that would take my pain away. So I went full force with that, and I kept doing those for a really long time. And I did this for quite some time until I was probably about 24 years old. 24 years old came. I was, those kind of went away. The heroin came into play. I'm sure a lot of you guys can relate to that. So I ended up getting into that. I remember being in my mom's attic, 24 years old, no job, no dreams, no aspiration, nothing. Just up there, throwing up bile because I had nothing in my stomach, and like, I remember my mom yelling up the stairs saying, like, "Are you going to do anything with your life?" And, like, that was, like, a reoccurring statement for her, you know what I mean? Yelling up them stairs all the time. That, and, like, for some reason, like, it hit me, and, like, you know what I yelled out? I said, you know what, I'm going to go to rehab. And I ended up going to rehab. I was 24 years old. Went down to the local courthouse and with the drug and alcohol, and they got me into a rehab, which was out in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. Gateway, I believe it was. And I went through there. It was my first treatment. I had no idea what was going on. I just kind of, you know, went there to... I was hopeless, you know what I mean? Before you guys been there, that's the bitter end. And, I went through there and I did really well. I ended up going to a halfway house. I ended up doing really well through there. I was excited about recovery at that time. Actually, every time I've ever been at, like, meetings and stuff, it's just something about it, like, the atmosphere, like, it excites me. Like, the whole just being around people, maybe just being a part of something. I always wanted to be a part of something. And I remember going through that halfway house. I got out. I went through a three-quarter house. I did really well. Ended up meeting a girl. And I'm going to get into some patterns here. I met a girl. We hung out twice. I ended up getting her pregnant. She messaged me, said, you're going to be a dad. I said, all right. So, you know, me being me, I was like, oh, I'm going to step up and be a man and get us a place and, you know, we'll live happily ever after. And I got us a place down by the river. And I ended up relapsing right when he was born. I was actually high at the hospital when he was born. And she knew about it. I don't think she said anything. She didn't want to ruin the moment. Her parents were there. My parents were there. She finally approached me. At the time, she had 4 years clean. I think I had almost a year. Or I did have a year. I apologize. I did celebrate a year, and then I relapsed right after that. That's right when he was born. So he came, and like I said, I relapsed. She came to me and said, you know, if you go to treatment, you know, you can come back. We can, you know, we can try to make this work. So I did. I went back into Gateway. I went to the detox center. I just went through detox. That's all I needed this time because I already knew what I was doing. You know, I already know. So I went in detox, came back out, lasted probably like 3 weeks. You know, got high again. She found out again. She found, you know, paraphernalia, stuff like that. She came to me again and said, I'm giving you one more chance. Like, this is it. Like, you either, you know, go into treatment, stay, go through a halfway house again, or I'm taking Corbin and I'm going back to Pittsburgh. So I decided to, you know, do that. So, you know, as we're in the car, we're heading out there. Like, I remember stopping at a gas station, and I seen a kid that I knew from the rooms, and, you know, he said, how you been? I said, you know, not that great. I'm going back into treatment. He said, you know, that's weird. So am I. And I was like, where are you going? He said, I'm going right up the street to, you know, Gateway. I said, so am I. I said, all right, I'll see you up there. And I get up there. I'm in there for a little while. The nurse came to talk to me and stuff, and then he was actually in my room in there. And when I came out with the nurses, he came to me and said, would you like to get high one last time? And I said, of course I do. You know, my mind was very unstable. You know how it goes. So I did. I got high one last time, and I went out right in the detox center. I remember the EMTs being over top of me, and I came to it. I remember coming in and out of it, going in the ambulance down to the Beaver Medical Center. I remember, like, coming to my parents standing there, and, like, my kid's mom standing there, and she looked at me and said, we're done, right there in the hospital. And she walked out. So this was like, It was hard for me because, like, I had that, like, you know, that I want to be with my son. I don't want to be apart from him. So I ended up going back to the center. They ended up letting me come back there. I was actually really close to the lady that ran detox. She knew me from, you know, coming in there and speaking before, and she really had a huge heart for me, and she let me come back. I know, finished through there again, going through the process again, going to a halfway house again, falling through that, back into a three-quarter again. then I ended up getting my own place, and then I found a sponsor. Had sponsors before, but this sponsor was like my very first like sponsor I actually like really like tried like giving it a shot to, you know what I mean? I still talk to him to this day. He's one of the biggest supports I have. And then I started getting into some steps finally, and I remember doing the steps with him. Like, I remember did 1, 2, and then I did 3 at the Tri-State Spiritual Retreat. I remember walking out in the woods with him. We ended up doing my 3rd step, and like I went over with him, hugged him, and like probably like the best feeling I've ever had in my life. You know what I mean? Just going over that step, having that connection with him, having an intimate relationship with another guy. It brings me back. Like, I remember like talking to this guy on the phone, and like he said, "I love you" on the phone. It was the first time any guy's ever said "I love you" to me. Cause my dad never said that to me, and like he said it, like I paused, and he was like, "You still there?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm here." And I said, "I love you too." And like it was the first time like I've ever really said "I love you" to another man, and I'll never forget that day. Cause now like the guys that I hang out with. Like, we say I love you, like, regardless if I'm just going home or if I'm on the phone with them, it doesn't matter. Like, we say I love you no matter what, which is cool to me, you know what I mean? So anyways, like I said, I had that sponsor. I had my own place in Beaver. I decided it's time to get a girlfriend again, so... You know, I had some time off and not having a girl, so it's time to get another one. So I decided to date my boss's niece. And, you know, I ended up having a decent job he gave me. We were together for 2 weeks, and I decided it's time to move in with her, too. You know, it's been 2 weeks, you know, we should have a house by now. I moved in with her. We had a place in North Hills, Pittsburgh, and it's a beautiful house. Picket fence, the yard, the dog, all that. I'm doing well. So I tell my sponsor, hey, I'm going to have to get a new sponsor. I'm moving to North Hills. Even though it's only 20 minutes down the road, I'm probably going to need a new sponsor now. And he's like, okay. Have fun with that. So I ended up going to North Hills meetings for maybe like a week. My job became more important. I was on the road a lot. I ended up pushing away from the program. I stayed clean for maybe a month or two. So I'm okay now. I can drink. I'm fine. I can drink now. I got a good job. I deserve it. I'm doing well. You know, I have my own house. I got my son back in my life again, even though his mom didn't want me to have him back in my life. Everything's going great. So I started drinking again. I drank for a little while. Next thing you know it, like, I work in the city because I did outside sales, so I was, like, in and out of the city a lot. I remember being down at a 7-Eleven getting gas. I look over to the left of me, and there's an old drug dealer of mine. And, you know, I said, hey, how's it going? You know what I mean? And he said, same thing. And next thing you know it, I'm back doing the same thing I was doing before. Like I said before, like these patterns, man, like I had the same thing happen again. I ended up overdosing. I ended up in the hospital again. Girlfriend standing over top of me. She gave me a couple chances, but I ended up, you know, pretty much just, you know, ruining that relationship because I just could not stay clean. I ended up moving back with my parents back to Butler. It just got even worse for me. So my sister calls me up one day and she says, hey, at this time my sister's in the program, very involved. She works for a facility. She has a lot of connections, a lot of people. She's like, hey, why don't you get pizza with me after work at Pizza Hut? And I said, all right, I'll meet you, darling. So I get down there, I walk in, and she's sitting there with like five people that she works with the facility. I'm like, oh, shit. I said, we're not even going to do this. Like, I already know what we're doing here. Like, I'm just, what do you want me to do? Like, I'll go. She said, all right, well, why don't you go out to Altoona? I said, where the hell is that? She said, there's a place that, you know, my facility has another facility out there. We'll go out there, Pyramid, and just get away from here. You know, get away from Beaver County. Get away from Butler. Just get, like, far away from here as you can for a while. And I said, all right, I'll do it. So I get out there, and I went through the detox. I got up into the population. When I got up there, I called her. I said, you need to get me the hell out of here right now. This place is prison. And the reason is because all the other treatment centers I went to, you could do whatever you wanted, man. You could hang out, eat when you wanted, lay around, sleep in your bed, do whatever you wanted. So when I got there, they didn't let me do any of that. So I was like, this isn't rehab, this is prison. So I don't want to be here. She's like, just give it a chance. Just give it another couple days. If you don't like it, I'll come get you. I gave it a couple more days, and I ended up, something happened. There was a tech in there, I remember. He's actually usually at these things, but I think he's on vacation right now. And I always bring this up because I remember something happened in that treatment center. And I remember going into the tech office, and he, I was a little angry. Imagine that. He said, man, you need to practice principles. And it was like he threw an egg text at my head or something. Because it was like the first time I ever heard it. Even though it's all through these readings at the beginning. I was too busy on my phone all the time, chasing women. Too busy finding out what's going on after the meeting to actually hear what was in those readings. That, like, you know, the principles was the key to this program. And so after that, I ran with it. Like, I started writing down them principles, and I just started, like, just, you know, the definitions. And, like, it became, like, something that I was, like, obsessed about for a while. And I ended up going into another halfway house out in Tyrone, PA. And I built a fellowship. I built a nice support group out that way. Got out of there, and I need a girlfriend again. Because I don't have one, and I need one, because that's what I do, and I need a girlfriend. So I get a girlfriend again, and I move in with her in like 3 weeks, I think. She's here somewhere. Still with her today. I don't know where my daughter is. Somewhere over there. But anyways, I got with her, and like, I was pretty involved at this time. Like, I was, you know, going to meetings. I met Rich. I ended up making my my home group out at, you know, out in Evansburg. I was very, very serious about my recovery, and is what happened is I ended up getting a job selling Subarus for a place down in Hollidaysburg. And my job became more important again. And I pushed away from the program. My sponsor told me something I didn't want to hear, so there was my out. How dare you're not my dad. So I don't need you guys anymore. I got what I needed. I got, you know, a couple steps in my life now. I got a house. I got a girlfriend. I got my kid back in my life. I got some money in the bank. I'm good. I don't need you guys anymore. I'm good. So next thing you know, and I end up relapsing again. Imagine that. Go right back to the same shit I was doing. Hiding it from my girlfriend for a really long time. I'm at this place of employment. I went in the bathroom. I did something, and I ended up going out in that bathroom. A guy that I worked with came up, knocked on the door. The light was off. If the light was off, that meant, and it was locked, that meant that somebody was in there, because that's how it was for that bathroom. So he went and got the manager. They came in, busted the door down. I was in there blue. I remember waking up again at the hospital when my girlfriend standing over taught me again, third time. Is there anything here? Yeah. And that still wasn't enough for me. Still wasn't enough again. I got out, I got high again. This time, my higher power had to have the law intervene. And, like, I'm grateful for that, even though, like, at the time I wasn't. But I remember getting a phone call, in the morning, at like 7 in the morning, my phone rings, it's a restricted number, I answer it. He goes, "Mr. Coltrider," I said, "Yes." He said, "This is the Altoona Police Department. Can we have a talk with you?" And I said, "Yeah, that's fine. What's this concerning?" He said, "Well, we can come see you, or you can come down here." I'm like, "Oh, shit, well, he knows where I live, so that ain't good. And I'm not coming down there, because I ain't going down there." So he came up, came in, and they said, "You know, we have you on some drug sales." And my heart dropped. You know, I'd never been in any kind of trouble with this. No jail time. I did a couple days in jail a few times, but nothing crazy. You know, they did the whole spiel, you know, "You work for us, blah, blah, blah. I don't do all that." So I ended up just taking it on the chin. And I ended up going straight into an outpatient service that I'm actually still at today. And like, it's been very beneficial in my recovery. But I went in there, I got a one-on-one counselor that I still see today. He's helped me through this whole process, man. He goes and he's like, "Dan," he's like, "you can either build a good resume or you can build a bad one. It's up to you at this point." And like, I held on to that. And it drove me to build like a really good resume. I ended up going in front of a judge all the way at the end, and the judge ended up not giving me jail time. She ended up putting me on a program that I'm still in. And like I said, the kid that pulled on me, like at the time, like I wanted to be really mad and like freak out on him, and like if I ever saw him, I was gonna do something to him and blah, blah, blah. If I saw that kid today, I would give him a hug and I would tell him thank you for saving my life, because that's exactly what I needed. I just didn't know it. And like I said, like it's what drove me to where I'm at today. Narcotics Anonymous has saved my life. It's given me a life today. Like I said, when Rich asked me yesterday, I'll never say no to NA. Like, I just won't. Because it's never said no to me. And, I don't know. Today, for me, man, like, I have my home group. It's Hope Not Dope. I attend regularly. I'm very active. I'm a speaker seeker there. I've done a lot of positions there. Been at the area level there. I go into a lot of facilities and speak. I ended up just putting my 2-week notice in at my job about a week ago because I just ended up kind of jumping on some faith into like a kind of like a business thing that I'm doing, which I would have never done. I don't let myself live in fear today. If I do, I do have the program to turn to, like, you know, the step work to turn to get me out of that fear. I don't know, the friends that I've had like through this process, man, I can't even explain. Like, I have so many good friends today, man, that just love me. Just hit me up just to say how you doing. Like, I never had that before, you know what I mean? I've always had somebody just hit me up to see what I can get for them and how I can help them. Like, just having messages in the morning when I wake up just saying, "Hey Dan, how are you? How's your day going?" It means the world to me and like keeps me driven. I do have a beautiful son today that I have in my life. I'm actually going on vacation with him next week. We're going to Hershey Park with my daughter and my family. Like, I woke up this morning and like my first thought was like, get a cup of coffee and come out here and speak. It wasn't like, who am I going to rob? How am I going to hurt them? And how am I getting something in my system to make me not feel this way? I hold on to that today, and I share that a lot because, like, that's what makes me keep coming here. Because I don't want to feel like that again. I don't want to have to wake up and have to put something in me to make me feel better. I like going to meetings and just, like, hearing experiences and hearing how you guys get through things and not, like, not how I'm going to get high. But I'm going to end my story because I can barely